You know what's going on. We are sitting in the kitchen at the radio station, and there's four of us that do a show, kind of like when we feel like it.
Hold on, cooking some good food, man.
Yeah, right. So we are not experts, but we follow sports pretty much every league there is, and it's real fun to have you on the phone with us, and we appreciate that.
No problem, man. Not at all, man. That's never a problem. Never a problem, man.
So let's talk about you a little bit. First, you have to ask the question. Jerome is your given name, but where did Pooh come from?
Actually, my grandmother. You know, my grandmother named me that when I was a little kid. You know, I was kind of a little heavy set kid. You know, like I guess a Pooh Bear.
Nice. Nice.
Did you get a little bit of razz on that when you were growing up?
You know, actually, no, man. You know, when you grow up in a city, especially in Philadelphia, when you grow up in those inner cities, man, everyone has a nickname. You know, you got your Pookies, your Popeyes, you got everybody. You know what I'm saying?
And when it's given to you by your grandma, nobody can give you any lip about that.
Man, you got to take that one in stride, right?
Right.
And after all these years, I can't shake it. Not that I wanted to, but you know, at the end of the day, some people don't even know my real name, man. They call me by that.
Yeah. That's perfect.
Well, we have Bill Beckman in the studio, Tim Shergrew, who Tim is far better versed in basketball than the rest of us are. That's really his background. And then Justin Lyons, who Justin has a pretty extensive baseball background. So we all kind of have our little things that we could add to the show. But let's talk about you coming out of UCLA. And the Timberwolves were an expansion team back in 89, and you were the first pick ever. How did that feel?
A little different because, you know, you go into a town you've never been in. And, you know, I always say that I was fortunate, you know, and I look at it like I looked at it more or less as an opportunity to play right away, to establish myself right away. I didn't look at it as being, you know, a problem like most people look at when they go to expansion teams that's already on current teams. They say, you know, you're going to lose, you're going to do this. Well, I was more or less looking at it as an opportunity to play right away. So it was quite different, but at that time, Minneapolis was on fire, man. You know, Prince was doing his music, the Terry Lewis Jimmy Jam thing with Janet Jackson. It was big. It was the town was on fire at that time, as far as from a music standpoint. It was going. It was rolling.
Nice. Who was your head coach then? Who?
Eric Musselman's dad, Bill Musselman.
Oh, okay.
And Eric, congratulations to him. He just had a good run with Arkansas.
Yeah.
And their little tournament, but it was Coach Bill Musselman.
And how did it go about UCLA recruiting you? I mean, you're a Philadelphia kid, and the Bruins, of course, on the other side of the country. What a pedigree, obviously, UCLA has when it comes to college basketball. But how did you feel about UCLA recruiting you?
Actually, you know, being like you said, being from the East Coast, you know about UCLA as far as the history concerned, but at that particular time, it was Big East was on fire. You know, you had Syracuse, Georgetown, Villanova, since I'm in Philadelphia. You know, you just had St. John's. You just had those teams. You had really, really good teams, and the Big East was being hot up at that time. My high school coach was a really good friend with Coach Walter Hazard, who was actually the head coach at the time. And the guy who was an All-American years ago and went to UCLA as well, named Andre McCarter, who happens to be on staff, and he was from South Philadelphia. So I had two Philly coaches there. So I kind of felt at home. You know, it was an easy transition for me.
Very good. Now, UCLA is the Cinderella story of this year's NCAA tournament. An 11th seed now playing in the Final Four. So I'm sure that you're rooting for the Bruins. How does it feel to have your former team, you know, being back up against? And we have to kind of talk about it here on the West Coast, because the Pac-12 doesn't hardly get any love when it comes to basketball. And to have a Pac-12 team now in the Final Four, it's a good feeling for us folks out here on the West Coast. But as a former player, what does that mean to you?
It's tremendous to see the growth of the program. And, every program, every great program has some pitfalls here and there. And they don't like to say rebuilding. They like to say retooling, but it's rebuilding. And I think they just on a great path right now. And yeah, a lot of West Coast, basketball, you know, a lot of guys don't get recognized, but you have so many West Coast people who become great products and play in professional ranks. If you look at a lot of those rosters, it's a lot of guys from California that's in the pros today. So, you know, it's just a testament of the fact that skills and the basketball has been taught in a great manner here in the West Coast. You know, they really concentrate on skills and stuff that gets you to be on the next level. So I think that the West Coast will ultimately start getting a little bit more respect. You know, the Pac-12 sent, you know, what, five teams to the tournament. And, a great fight, Elite Eight for us. And it was nice. It was nice to see. It really was nice to see.
So how do you think your team, the UCLA, matches up against Gonzaga?
Come on, man, they don't.
Well, you know, USC was playing very good, and what Gonzaga did to them, I mean, I knew they were good, but I didn't think they were that good. That was pretty impressive what they did to USC.
Well, here's what you know you have to look at. You're talking about the skills. So those guys are very skilled. And not only that, they usually have a more mature team. They normally have guys that's juniors and seniors and they can execute. They got a great understanding of the game. A lot of those guys, when you get older or you become older players, in college, it stopped really being about you per se. It started being about the team. And I think that those guys are so honed in on the team thing and truly doesn't care who received recognition, they just about winning. And when you have a team like that, it's really hard to beat. And now you're adding talent and a bit of youth. I think they have a great balance of youth, experience, and talent. I mean, they just have the whole package. If you watch them, they just look like a well-oiled, I want to say semi-pro team.
Right. You're killing me, Phil. I need you guys to beat them tonight.
Hey, man. Saturday. Hey, let me tell you something. I would love that more than anything, but you know, I'm a realist. I look at what we've done. I think we made some great strides. This will really help a lot of recruiting for us, and this is going to help Mick Cronin, coach, to continue to recruit not only on the West Coast, but give him a national platform to continue to coach and bring kids out to the West. And I know his pigeonhole thing is the Midwest. Hopefully we can get a few players from there as well and get all the good ones that's already here. And, it's a great experience for those kids. I know they are having a great time, but you know, congratulations. You know, you beat Michigan just to face Gonzaga. How about that one?
Hey, yeah. You know, they've been the underdog now for every game they've been in, and look what they've done. So they don't have a lot of pressure on them. They can come in and play free. They're not expected to win. They weren't expected to beat Michigan. And you never know what can happen.
Hey, man, I love that. I mean, I'm on board. I'm on board, and I'm one of the most. I'm the most positive person when you start talking about that kind of thing, because I know sometimes, you know, when people doubt you, you got to fight through it. And you got to do some things. But I'm telling you right now, they are looking at a buzzsaw, bro.
They are. I agree.
Hey, Pooh, let's talk about your NBA career a little bit, if we can, because you played 10 years in the league, and you played against some of the icons of basketball,
yes,
too, when you were in the league.
Yes.
And it seems to me that you were in that transition period, if you will, because you started playing in 89, and then your career mm-hmm. ended in 1999. So it kind of went from the bad boy thing in the 80s, late 80s, you know, with the Pistons and some of the players that we're going to talk about. And then, I don't know if it's a correct term or not, but it's more of a finesse league when it comes to the NBA now, where they're not letting guys get away with a lot of contact like they did earlier on in like your career. Is that a fair assessment?
That's a great assessment. You're dead on. I think that the physicality of it was more or less not to say that guys didn't have skill, but they had skill, you know, actually mixed with the physical part. And I think when you started looking at those Detroit Pistons teams and those late mid-90s New York Knicks teams, real physical, knock you down, you know, only cut the foul. There were no flagrants and stuff like that. And they start implementing all the flagrant rules. I remember we used to have, before the season starts, the referees would come in, you know, with some people from the league would talk about what's going to be considered flagrant, what's not. Normally they would talk to the big guys, because the big guys was normally the ones knocking people around. you start looking at the physicality of that, and the one thing I started looking at, even like today's game, I love it. I mean, I love that the guys are successful and make a lot of money and do all these things and the TV contracts, all the stuff that comes with it. I get all that. But the only thing that really bothers me a little bit is that they call a guy a two-way player. Like, what is that? Like, I thought you were supposed to play defense.
Right?
Exactly.
You know, like they give you credit for playing defense now. And I'm like, well, where the era I come from, if you didn't play defense, you was going to get embarrassed. So your pride would make you play defense. You don't play defense against Isaiah or John Stockton or Kevin Johnson, bro, you're going to get embarrassed.
Yeah, and the scores were a lot lower back when Pooh played. I mean, now they're scoring 130 points a game, some of these guys, because it's finesse and they're all hitting threes, and it was a more physical, fun game. I mean, you play against Laimbeer and Mahorn, you're going to know it.
And Rodman.
And
Rodman.
Pooh, I was going to ask you, who's scarier?
Oakley as well. And Oakley as well.
I was just going to say, who's scarier, Oakley or Mahorn?
Who's scary?
Yeah.
Yeah, who's scary?
Who's scarier?
Who's scary to play against?
I gotta say, you know, Rick had a great sense of humor. Oakley don't have none of that. I'm gonna say Oakley and Laimbeer.
Yeah.
I'm gonna say Oakley and Bill Laimbeer, because Bill, he does it, and he acts like he didn't do anything. Right? You know, I didn't do that, and it's clear. He just hit checked the guy, or he just took the guy out with a forearm, and he makes it seem like Glenn is just picking him, choosing him to pick on him.
Right.
So at least Oakley do it to you, and he wants you to know he did it.
So you know, you played against Magic Johnson, Larry Bird, Michael Jordan, and you had a close connection, from what I understand, with Kobe Bryant too. You know, talk about those type of players, Hall of Famers. Guys that you knew on and off the court, and you know, it's been over just a little bit a year ago, the tragic accident with Kobe and his daughter. So I imagine that hit home really hard.
Yeah, like, not only both of us being from Philadelphia, I was, when he first came here, you know, I was a part of his helping him, you know. Guiding the agency to go with, which was Arn Tellem and Associates, who's now running operations over at the Detroit Pistons. Arn is actually a Philadelphia guy as well. I lived in the Palisades. Kobe moved around the corner from me, literally. You know, I kept my eye on him a lot. He's young, before his parents came out, before Joe and Pam came. Cause he was underage. You know, and I used to have the little fights at my house. He'd come over and stuff like that. Cause he was only, literally not even a mile, like a half a mile, not even that away from me. When I retired, I went over to Italy to help his dad and them run their team over there in Milan. So, you know, we have some really, really strong ties. I grew up watching his dad. I know his grandparents. I know his uncles, his cousins. I know his whole family. It struck home. And with a lot of people who never really met him, they think he's like this super arrogant person and hard to deal with. It's truly not so, man. You know, and I think he get a bad rap on that a lot of times. He's a laser focused guy. If he want to do something, he's gonna put his mind to it, and he's gonna give his all to it. And I think a lot of times people, misunderstand his focus as being arrogant because he get a one track mind when he wants to do something. I think a lot of times people just look at it like, you know, he's arrogant and disrespectful, which he's truly not. He truly wasn't.
Yeah, I certainly didn't view him like that. I think he was one of the best players that's ever played, and, you know, you've seen some of these videos on his work ethic and what he did even after games and before games, and it's pretty impressive, and that's how you get to be that good. And I think Michael Jordan was like that. They're saying he outworked everybody. And I know you played against him, yeah. Too.
Oh, yeah, the best. I mean, trust me, man, I don't hate on no players. But from what I've been involved in, and on that basketball court at the same time with that man, he's a different dude. Trust me.
Yeah.
It's not, I know what you say. I mean, I don't know if you go and say defensively, offensively, intimidation-wise, the brand, the notoriety. I mean, if you mention anything in those categories, the man has it.
Yeah.
You start going on, okay, tell me what he didn't have. And then that's when we start.
Yeah.
Who was the best trash talker you ever played against?
Say it again?
Who was the best trash talker you ever played against?
Oh, I played with the best trash talker to me, Reggie Miller.
Reggie Miller.
Reggie Miller.
Yeah. Yeah, I played with that guy in college and in the pros. So, you know, I don't know if anybody talked more trash than him and backed it up. But, you know, I think Michael used to, you know, talk trash, but it was more or less you have to motivate him to do it. Reggie come out the tunnel talking trash.
Before we let you go, a couple more questions, if we may. The Phoenix Suns, do you think they're for real?
I do. I think they are, and I know that what's going to happen is that they're going to really get people's attention here soon. But when you play in that league and you play on that level, one of the things is that the veteran guys, they don't really believe it yet until they have a scare. So right now, Phoenix hasn't really been scaring people, and most people say no since they're young. They ultimately going to fade. But I think having Chris Paul and Jay Crowder really helps them as far as a mature aspect of what they're accomplishing. But I like what they're doing down there, and it seems like they're having fun doing it.
That's true. I think Monty Williams is a heck of a coach for them, and hopefully he'll be considered, no matter how the Suns finish up, coach of the year. I think he should be in the running for that. Have you mentioned going over to Italy and helping Kobe's dad. Have you been in and out of coaching since you left the NBA?
Actually, no. What I've been doing, man, I've been doing more of, and I know everyone's getting involved in all the stuff with CBD and stuff like that. I'm looking at a lot of the players, football guys, because of injuries and stuff like that. I've been more or less dealing with that kind of product, helping people. I know that it's very sensitive right now in the leagues, within the leagues. They're trying to gear guys towards doing more natural, holistic things right. to help them heal. Because the more you heal, the faster you recover and you get back out there on the floor or on the field or on the ice or whatever you, whatever particular sport that you're playing. So I started concentrating on doing a lot of, CBD stuff and products and helping people, but doing it from a natural thing, dealing with hemp and guys who like to indulge in that kind of stuff. And then it doesn't have, the cannabis in it, so they don't have the issue about testing and things like that, but still get the same recovery and the same pain-free situation that you would get if you were on any kind of meds.
Okay, so this is your company that we're talking
yes.
about. Okay, great.
Yes.
And for our listeners or anybody, is there information that we can tap into on the website? How do we find out about this?
Well, it's easy. It's White Tip. It's called White Tip. It's White Tip CBD.com. You can go there and see the stuff that we have. And we still have a few products that's in development, but everything that's done, it's on the high quality side of things. You keep it real, man. And I keep it all real. Here's the reality is that NFL, NBA, and all the professional sports are trying really to get guys not to do cannabis. I mean, that's the reality. And I can see where it helps them, and I can see where, you know, it hurts because you don't want a guy out there running 100 miles an hour at 300 pounds crashing into you, and he's high. That's what you don't want.
Right.
But you do want a person who's recovered, who can give you his maximum performance and do all that. So that's what made me gear to more the hemp products that contains the CBD for the healing process, as opposed to the cannabis stuff that, you know, has the THC and kind of gets you high. And, you know, you want to be physically ready to go, pain-free, being able to have a normal life and play your sport, or even for the people who don't play sports, just be, you know, kind of feeling good without being high.
Yeah.
It's like having a 10-person massage. If you guys ever had that.
Not a 10-person, but I've had a 1-person.
You know, that might be for his show.
I have one more question. I know you probably want to go, but how far did your team go with UCLA with Reggie Miller? How far in the tournament did you guys go?
We actually got to the close to the 16. We lost one thing, man. We were up by 15 or so, man, at halftime against Wyoming.
Wyoming.
He's still living it.
man, it was the most painful thing because this guy, Finis Dembo, went crazy on us. He had like 40 points, and he made every shot that he took, and we were like, this is crazy. I mean, regardless of the adjustments we made, he just made every shot, man. It was hard. And that, Lechner.
That happens in the tournament.
That does, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does.
That happens.
Can we maybe count on you to join us as we get into the NBA playoffs? Would you like to come back on the radio with us?
Anytime, man. Just let me know, and I'm here, man. I'm here. I love talking sports. I love talking life, man. Just whatever, man. I'm here, bro.
And you're living in California?
Yes, I'm living in Bermuda Dunes. Are you guys familiar?
Oh yeah,
I'm
by Palm Springs.
Yeah.
We're not too far away. You can come in studio if you want. We're in Lake Havasu City, so we're like 3 hours away.
Oh yeah, I'm in Palm Springs area. I'm right in Bermuda Dunes, man.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So we cover Lake Havasu City, Parker, Arizona, Laughlin, Nevada, Bullhead City,
nice.
Kingman, right? So,
nice.
So anytime you're out in this area, please let us know. And it's been a privilege. We really enjoyed the conversation. I hope you did too.
No problem at all, man. Anytime you guys want me to come out, man, I'll do it.
Awesome.
Just let me know. I'll come out and sit in and chop it up with you guys a little bit and have some fun.
Okay, that'd be awesome. Tim has.
But you guys got to know. But you guys got to know what y'all doing in that kitchen, though.
if
don't worry about it. If you don't, I got y'all covered.
All right.
And Tim has a court in his backyard, so there you go.
Uh-oh. Hey, now we.
Hey, look, I think I'm coming out tomorrow.
Thank you so much, Pooh.
Okay,
you take care
man,
of
no problem.
God bless.
Okay, my
thank
man.
You.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Later.
There you go. Pooh Richardson with us on the Amateurs KNTR Sports. We'll be back after the break. Billy Joe.